Pushing button one.
Push the beautiful candy like button.
Robot Underpants.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Robot Underpants. This is Langley here with Eric Rice singing in the background there.
Yeah, sitting on a park bench. There's a new notification sound in my life, and it's like, do.
That's the new Google alert noise, evidently.
Yes.
Starman, back from viewing Star Trek.
May the live long and prosper be with you.
Like, well, you saw it? How was it?
Oh, it was excellent.
I would expect nothing less. Really?
Did you watch it in 3D?
Yeah, I watched it in 3D.
Did you watch it in IMAX 3D?
Yes, I did.
Is that real 3D or those silly blue and red 3Ds?
Oh, no. It's real 3D.
Is it real 3D or is it IMAX 3D?
It's not the red blue one. It's where they show two different frames of the film so fast, and then the glasses polarize it.
Does it give you a headache?
Nope.
That's because you're normal.
Give me a headache at all. I had absolutely no problems with it.
I found, and I haven't seen a lot of movies in 3D, IMAX 3D, but I found that I think that the real, is it real D or real 3D or whatever it is, the other one?
Uh-huh.
I think I like that better than the IMAX 3D. It seemed to work better for me.
I haven't really seen a movie in a theater more than once in 3D.
So. I saw Avatar in real, is it real D or is it real 3D?
Real D.
I don't know.
Real D. I saw Avatar in real D, and it seemed pretty crisp and good. And then I saw it again at IMAX, and it seemed to be like washed out, or I don't know what it was. It's hard to say. It just seemed like it was watered down somehow. Like it didn't seem right.
It's entirely possible. It could have been a bad transfer. It could have been bad theater.
It's possible.
There are a lot of different reasons.
Now, wait, Matt, you wear glasses like I do. So how do you do the 3D?
I just slap them on over my glasses.
And that's not
doesn't bother lame. Me. No. Well, I mean, yeah, but what are you going to do?
I mean, lame as in comfort. I mean,
it doesn't bother me.
Like, titanium shit here.
I mean, I can rest them over them. They're fine. It doesn't really affect me too much. Do you have problems with it?
I don't generally like wearing glasses over my glasses.
Well, no. I mean, it's not like I would be putting sunglasses on over my glasses when I go out.
It's like those old men who have the full wraparounds.
Right.
Blue blockers, beta blockers.
If I'm going to sit in the dark for 2 hours and enjoy a movie, glasses, I'm fine.
My regular glasses are made by Nike. They're rimless on
it's
the
not
bottom.
A sponsor.
And they're titanium, so they're really light.
Yeah. Yeah, mine are too.
Anything on that's like,
No, mine are like surgical steel or something like that. They're super light too. I mean, they actually will fall off my head if I look down sometimes and like I'm sweating or something, but...
Oh, all right.
But no, I don't really. Doesn't I mean? Like I said, it's just something that you have to do if you want to watch a 3D movie. I guess I have contacts, but they don't. They're not as clear as my glasses. So if I'm going to a movie and want to watch it in 3D, I'm going to wear my glasses. So no, it hasn't really bothered me. Not nearly as much as the new Google Plus layout.
Now. This was funny. So in IRC today, you started raging, and I couldn't tell if you were serious or not, because typically...
I was kind of serious.
You don't rage about things.
I know.
But you kind of were like, what the hell?
Yeah.
I go ahead.
I don't know. Yeah, no, I was pretty serious, actually. I was pretty pissed off. I don't care for the... Here's your stream. Just throw it on the wall. Kind of figure it out. Whatever, what happened first? I don't know. Figure it out. You know, instead of just a stream, vertical stream, you know that the top one is the latest one usually, unless something's messed up. And then you know, chronologically backwards as you scroll down, or if you're plurk from left to right,
Yeah. Well, no. You know what? Google Glass has the timeline backwards too. It's like the future stuff is on the past side of a timeline. I think Plurk had the same thing where they inverted it. So new stuff happened opposite. I mean, a timeline works left to right. That's just what they do, right? It's like how we read. There's not really it's not open for discussion. That's just how it works, right? Write a number line. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. So I think Glass does it backwards. I don't know if Plurk ever fixed it. I haven't used Plurk in years.
I don't know if they're even around anymore, but yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, Facebook did this for a while and it infuriated me. Then they finally figured out.
Facebook did. Hold on, you got to back up there. Because, So aside from the fact that Google changed their layout of Plus and it, you know, it reminded me of Flipboard. It's like people can't handle like a list of links. They've got to have pretty big pictures and squares everywhere. Fine, whatever. That's a thing. We'll get over that soon enough. But what they did, and everyone's like, see, Facebook had to copy Google Plus. Or this is so much better. Are you people high? Facebook had the most absolutely asinine design where they had a bunch of boxes. And then in your stream, the post would be on the right. No, the left. No, the right. Yeah. No, now it's back on the left. It wasn't chronological. Yeah. It was like flip-floppy.
I hate that.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what Plus is. Facebook finally figured out maybe we should get away from that and do things, you know, normal-like, straight line.
Yeah, they went back to their original straight line stream. I mean, so I don't have a problem with, like, Pinterest or something like that where you're looking at a bunch of photos. It doesn't matter what order they come in generally. Yeah. If you're looking at – or even, like, was it Flipbook? What is it called?
Flipboard.
Like, right. Right.
To be organized pretty.
Yeah, and there's a couple of those. Hard. I don't mind those because it's like looking at a newspaper or a magazine. Your stuff, you're looking at articles that don't necessarily need to be in a timeline. But when you're looking at a timeline, you want it to be. You want to see what's
yeah, the order I of things. Yeah, I don't get this at all. I don't like
there is a feature where you could turn it off, but it's like.
Where is that?
If you go to more and scroll all the way down, you can change it to a single column.
But the almost top more.
Yeah, not that more. Don't go too high up.
Yeah.
It's to the north of the three scroll bars on the side of your window. There's three scroll bars on the side of your G+ window now. It's kind of funny.
Okay, I'll find it.
Yeah, it's in the G+ menu bar, not the Google menu bar at the very top.
Mm-hmm.
It's underneath the search box. There's more, and if you scroll all the way down, you can switch to single view, and you don't have the back and forth thing. But then you got a crap load of white space in there or gray space.
Oh, that's terrible! No, God,
it's great because the columns this thin. It's like I swear, like 300 pixels wide.
It's terrible.
You know, whatever. All they did was just make it look like all of the other apps. But I think it suffers from a little bit of that Windows 8-ness, right? Windows 8 on the desktop, the Metro UI is kind of silly. Because you can't touch it like you're supposed to. On a Surface, badass. On a Windows phone, badass. On the desktop, no. Mm-hmm. I think the same thing. I don't necessarily mind this Pinterest kind of checkerboard patchwork of squares everywhere. Because I'm usually taking a shit. And I'm like, flip, scroll, double wide, whatever, right?
Visual.
There's taking a shit UI, and then there's big boy pant UI.
And then there's somebody took a shit on your UI.
Yeah.
I there's better use for the space on a wide window. This is not good. Don't like it.
But generally speaking, I don't care one way or the other. It's, you know,
I don't mind some of the action that's going on. You know, you click on your to go post the new status and the little thing opens up. Like, that's kind of cool. I don't mind that. That doesn't bother me. I'm still kind of getting used to all of the things that are hidden under the home. You gotta, now it looks like you have to hit home like twice if you want to go home.
It's not even just that. It's like these community invitations are in the middle of my feed.
The size changed the priority of the information. I still have an old Google window open. And your stream takes up a majority. And then over in the side, it's like one invite. Here's some upcoming events. Here's some community invites. It's trivial content. Now they equalize it.
Yeah.
And I guess the events wouldn't bother me if everybody didn't treat an internet-wide event like an event.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you get every single event. Like, I follow Warrior Dash. I do not really need to be invited to Warrior Dash in New South Wales, Australia. I don't.
You might want to go.
Or the 50 billion events of, we're watching this on TV. Join us. Can you come?
I don't get what's going on in my IM list now over on the side, which I guess is the Hangouts list or whatever it's called now.
Yeah, they're replacing their, because this has been a problem for many years, where there's half a dozen chat apps, and it's still kind of messy. You have voice, you have talk, you have Messenger on Android. Well, they want Hangouts to be the unified one.
Okay.
So, I mean, that makes sense. You have a dozen chat apps, you get them unified.
Yeah, that's fine.
But I've got five of the same people in my list. I don't want that.
Yeah. Because you hung out with them one time, and then it never goes away unless you go
in. My domain registrar is in my Hangout list.
Yeah.
Because they email me all the time.
Oh, and I guess
this will eventually not be a problem, because I'm personally trying to wean myself off of Google, except for some very necessary components.
Hmm.
I did it with search. I pretty much did it with the browser. And I don't touch it unless I have to. And it's fine. I think eventually that will go away. If I can start migrating away from Gmail, then cool. I won't worry about, hey, you should hang out with your domain registrar.
Yeah.
Where would you go outside of Gmail?
Starfleet.
I have my own. Yeah, there you go. Get a Starfleet.com address.
No.
I don't know if I do web-based. Maybe I'd just do my own.
Yeah.
Or I'd have a backup or, you know. I don't even use email that much. Honestly. Email is, it's like, that's.
The web-based Outlook is not.
I guess I'm not an old person yet.
The web-based Outlook.
I'm like, I must use email.
It's pretty nice too. If I was going to go somewhere else, I'd probably do that. The web-based Outlook, what used to be Hotmail, I guess, or whatever it is. It's actually pretty clean. But you know, everything I have is in Gmail, so I'm not going anywhere with that. At least not for now. I don't know. Is there anything you guys do like about this?
Nope. one other thing that I really don't like is when what's new when you do a share what's new, your entire layout shifts and moves all over the place. Like, why can't I just type in that box and just leave it where it is?
Yeah, I didn't mind that so much.
Because how are we supposed to have hot CSS transitions? I mean, they did some nice stuff in brushing up the UI, and there's lots of stuff that pops and floats all over the place. Not terribly thrilled at what's hot came back. I can't move that stuff anyway. I want to get rid of it. Trending topics got buried, probably, for a good reason. if you're looking at what's hot, you probably care what's trendy.
All the why what's hot stuff is now in my stream. I mean, I'm using my stream as a single column, so I don't know what's going on. As soon as I figured out that you could change that, I changed that. Because I just cannot. Honestly, when I saw that it was going to be... what it was when I first pulled it up with the posts just everywhere, I was like, okay, time to leave. Where else can we go? Can I make my own social network? Screw this.
They added a bunch of other stuff too.
Something with photos.
I don't hate stuff, so I don't have anything that I also love either. I mean,
yeah.
I'm more interested in some of the other stuff that they were doing.
What else are they doing? I missed all this. You guys watched the IO.
Well, they did some changes to photos, and they did a better Android development kit, which is actually pretty slick. They're doing some more Chrome crap, where the syncing of Chrome, if you use that browser, even hooking up devices side by side, paying through Gmail using Google Wallet, I think that's going to be a hot thing to watch. Anything easier than PayPal, like that, and Amazon checkout, that could be interesting to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Music did some stuff, and some people are like, I'm quitting Spotify for this. Other people are like, I signed up, I went back to Spotify. I don't really do music subscription, so I can't really have an opinion on it. I mean, I got the free trial. I'm like, whatever. The recommendations were pretty horrible.
I haven't looked at the music thing at all.
Yeah. So really nothing earth-shattering. What else? What else was there, Mike? You were watching it too, weren't you?
The new Android Studio, I think, is badass.
And that comes from a Mac guy, from an Apple guy, by the way.
Yeah, the Eclipse IDE that they had before, I thought was absolutely hideous, and it was one of the things that was really pushing me against Google.
Yeah,
and I just didn't like it at all, and it's just such a horrible environment. And then this Android Studio comes out and I install it. I'm like, wow, I love this.
I just installed it a few minutes ago too. Google Maps got a nice upgrade. It's nice and earthy now. I love maps. I'm a huge map junkie. And I use all the mapping systems. I just love freaking maps. And I can't wait for that to come out. That's probably my number one thing that I dug is the maps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but everything else, I kind of take that ambivalent, whatever. It's just, this is just Google's turn doing their Google thing, like Facebook does the Facebook thing, and Apple does the Apple thing, and Microsoft does the Microsoft thing.
Yeah. Sorry, I was just reading a meme with Scoble at, I guess, the I.O. And someone wrote, yeah, where are the showers?
To Larry Page, who said, didn't really appreciate the shower pick.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You are not getting a job in our marketing department. Okay, thanks, bye.
Nice. That's funny. Yeah, the photo thing, apparently it'll color correct your photos for you automatically if you want it to. And then what was the other thing? It'll like pick and choose which ones are the best and do something with them or something.
It's basically process of elimination where if you use Google for photos, and you upload a bunch of them, it's going to basically go, this one's blurry. It's not going to put it into a special temporary album or whatever. Okay. Just like this one's overexposed. This one's underexposed. Oh, hey, I recognize photos of people in your circle. So this looks like it's a group shot. Oh, this looks like people are actually smiling. So that's kind of interesting in the way of saying, well, out of the three photos that you took of the same mountain range, here's one that has mathematically the best balance and is probably the best picture. So they're making a judgment call by way of process of elimination. Mm. You know, that's fine. If you take a lot of pictures of the same thing in rapid succession, they'll make a little animated GIF for you.
Yay.
Oh boy.
You know.
Yeah, all right, that's fine. I mean, that stuff doesn't bother me too much. But
yeah, and what we didn't say is obviously this all came out of Google's developer conference today. It was like 6,000 people. They all got the super overpriced Chromebook Pixel for free for attending.
Oh, wow. Yeah. What's the Pixel?
Pixel's like that $1,500 netbook.
Oh, wow, okay.
You can buy a $200 one or a $1,500 one.
Oh. Wow.
You know, it's fine. If you have your entire life and you want Google to run the internet and nobody else, then fine. Go buy it. Cool.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I just saw this. This is completely unrelated, or maybe not, in the way of horrible things. Arnold Schwarzenegger has signed on to do a buddy comedy, which is a Toxic Avenger remake.
Yeah, Toxic Avenger remake.
What? Schwarzenegger will reportedly play the Exterminator, described as the former Black Ops agent who trains the Toxic Avenger and helps him fight polluters. That's not how that movie went.
No, it's not. But,
huh. All right. Sorry, that was completely unrelated, but... yes. Whatever.
I got a new dog this week, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was more of a Mother's Day dog.
So not for
you? And, yeah, we got them on like Friday. No, not for me, for my wife. Yeah. We already have two dogs. We found this wonderful little guy. We think he's like some weird Jack Russell mix. His name's Eddie the Spartan. He does. He has this soldier-ish thing about him. He's like, We haven't quite figured out his personality. We don't know the voice of his inner monologue. But yeah, he's a pretty cool guy.
When you figure it out, give him a podcast.
Once all the humping is done, because everybody's trying to establish domination, so it's a humpapalooza out here. watching a 16-pound dog hump the head and face of a 100-pound dog, and the 100-pound dog's not doing anything, you got to just break that shit up. So the things that have come out of my mouth this week have been just amazing. Stop humping his face!
Sure, yeah. And he likes to climb or be high or something like that, right?
Yeah, yeah. My office is upstairs and it overlooks a forest. And so, because, you know, prepper, no. And so we threw a little thing on the desk. Because he's small enough, he jumps up there because he can spring high.
Mm-hmm.
Just from a dead stop and just boing. That's why we think he is a terrier, but he's kind of, that's very Jack Russell-y. Mm-hmm. And so he just sits there and he like surveys. So it makes the Spartan suffix. And that was actually his name that he had at the pound.
That wasn't the one you gave him.
Eddie the Spartan. So we're like, all right, we'll keep that. So it's somewhere between This Is Sparta and like Master Chief.
Oh, man.
Works for me.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So, but he's cool.
Yeah. Want to do some RoboCop news?
Yeah.
This week in RoboCop news.
All right. We have some RoboCop photos from the set.
Ooh.
Coming back in again. It's been a while since we've had those. They don't look much different than the other stuff we've seen. But there's a shot of him in his full suit. His basically Batman suit holding a big-ass gun and riding a motorcycle. Like I said, these are almost the same as they always are. This movie's just going to be RoboCop riding around on his motorcycle in Holt for 2 hours. I don't know. And the RoboCop statue is getting ready for completion, the one that's going to Detroit.
Oh, that's right. I saw that.
There's a dude standing next to the massive RoboCop statue. It actually looks pretty good. And $67,000, is that what it cost?
Yeah.
That I'm seeing here. We'll post links to those photos and some more photos and some more photos of RoboCop. That's pretty much it, I think, for RoboCop news. Oh, there's a little short video of a driving scene. This movie's going to be terrible. Kevin Smith finished the first draft of Clerks 3. That didn't take long. Didn't he just start that like last month? Something like that?
I don't know, but I'll bet you it's been bouncing around in his head for a long time.
Yeah, probably.
Probably had some notes and just threw it all together.
Yeah. That's cool. I like those movies. I'm happy about that. What else did we have? Star Trek. Did you want to say anything about Star Trek? I know you don't want to give away anything, but did you want to say anything?
No, I'm not going to give anything away, but I loved it, and the audience was really into it. And I think it was far better than the last Star Trek movie.
Cool.
So, yeah, definitely worth seeing. And the 3D was fine, and the story was fine, and the characters were great. I'm not saying that it's not without its flaws, but I think it's a little too early to go into that because it just came out. I can't really talk about that yet.
And you went to a sneak preview anyway, right?
Yeah, so the movie actually doesn't come out officially until tomorrow.
Maybe I'll go see a matinee tomorrow. I'll go see that.
Yeah, it's worth it. It's definitely worth it. I would tell anybody if you're a Star Trek. And you know, the funny thing is that some people are saying, "Oh, if you're a Star Trek fan, you're not going to like it." And I watch this movie, I'm like, "Well, I guess I'm not a Star Trek fan." Burr, 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 right? You know. Yeah. In fact, there was this woman in the theater. She was like talking to a group of people, and she's standing up, and she's like, "Yes, if you're a Star Trek fan, you're not going to like this film. Are you a fan?" She's talking to me. I'm thinking to myself, oh, please, let's just sit down.
Just go home.
That's the only problem with fandoms of anything.
Oh, yeah.
There's like the not true fans. I always remember this like in school when every time Metallica came out with something new, this just sucks. Not like Ride the Lightning. And then, you know, years later, something new comes out. And they're like, this sucks. Nothing like the Black Album.
Oh, well, it was like that with Maiden. It's like, where's Bruce Dickinson? And
this layout sucks. Oh,
if you don't like the new shit, you're too old.
That's right.
Personally, I'm a next generation baby, so I'm pretty much okay. I don't love it. I don't hate it. But I'll enjoy Star Trek because I actually don't like the original series. It's just a bit. Sorry, that was a long ass time ago. Fantastic. Yeah.
But you and I are not that too far apart in age. I don't understand why you would think it's too old because I'm only like, what, a year or two older than you?
Yeah, a couple.
I'm younger than both of you, and I still enjoy it. I mean, I was a kid and saw the reruns, and I loved it.
I was just talking about this with Daryl on This Week in Trek the other day, is that my problem with Next Generation is that it took so long to get from point A to point B in the story. It's like, number one, there's a Klingon ship off the port bow. I think we should talk about it for 20 minutes. No, just shoot it.
Yeah, I don't know.
That was the thing about Star. I mean, not so much like Next Generation or TOS as far as story goes, but the way that the production was, the scripts were very tight on TOS.
I know. You know what? I'll bet. I think we're actually like 5 years apart, but I'll bet you that's just enough that put you closer to all of the old sci-fi stuff. When I was young, it was all Star Wars. So Star Wars happened at a young ass age, and that became the standard of what sci-fi should be.
Well, that's how it was for me too.
Seriously, if I was five, you'd be 10, right?
Yeah.
So you had all these other formative years to get down with, like old Battlestar Galactica.
Yes. But when I was 10 and you were five, oh yeah, I guess that would be when Star Wars was coming out, because I was going to say
actually, that Star Trek, exactly when
that was the heyday of Star Trek's reruns. At least in New York, it was from 73-ish to about 82. Those were, well, maybe 84. Those were the years when Star Trek just dominated TV in New York.
Maybe we were just too busy watching the Brady Bunch or something. I don't know.
Could be.
Yeah, I mean, Star Wars was like the first movie that, I mean, I remember being all into and everything, and then I was all about sci-fi as far as that went. And I remember finding Star Trek on television, like reruns Sunday afternoons or whatever, and just being like, well, it's not Star Wars, but this isn't bad. And just like watching it all the time. And then, you know, I had like a great aunt who remembered it from the 60s, and she was all into it. So, you know, we'd watch it when I'd go to my grandma's.
For whatever reason, it didn't do anything for me.
Yeah. I don't know. And then I mean, I remember watching Buck Rogers 2 reruns, and I didn't mind that.
I mean, maybe I'm just adaptable as a human, so it's pretty easy to move on.
What does that mean?
Like, I'm not going to look at the new shit and go, oh, who is this? You know,
it is probably
a pretty bold thing to read. I mean, I imagine there's got to be people out there who are like, no, Star Trek is James T, you know, is Shatner and Leonard Nimoy and all that. So to have totally new people in who are constantly going to be compared to the new guys.
Sure.
Anybody who's younger is not going to give a crap. My kids could watch Star Trek and they'll be like, oh, hey, space movie.
That's probably why they used to wait until the generation was dead before they remade a movie.
Oh, God. Movies are getting made 5 years later.
They don't even wait till people are out of the theater before they remake a movie now.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And then they're making another
one. I thought Tobey Maguire was Spider-Man. No, apparently there's 12 other actors.
No.
I've gone down that road before.
We've talked
about it. But, yeah, I really liked it. And I think that if you're a Star Trek fan, you'll like it, too.
I'm excited about it. I'm not as big a fan as you are, but I'm, you know, I've actually been watching the old ones this past week. Like when I go to bed, I'll put them on and watch them, and you know, fall asleep. But
it'd be cool to do commentaries on those.
We should do it. Do like riff tracks.
Yeah. You know, let me tell you something about riff tracks. I came up with the idea of doing riff tracks 10 years before riff tracks. Except 10 years ago, there was no way to really put it out there.
Well, 10 years ago, they were doing it as Mystery Science Theater.
It was even before Mystery Science Theater. My friend and I were going to do it on. We weren't going to do that, not riff tracks. We didn't come up with the idea of like riff tracks, but we came up with the idea of doing commentary because we're a big Laserdisc fan. So we had the idea of doing our own commentary, like fan commentary. Then Mystery Science Theater came out, and we're like, ah, Mystery Science Theater. But the thing is that this idea that we had nowhere to go. There was the internet. I've been on the internet since 88. The internet existed, but podcasting didn't exist. A distribution system didn't exist, except for writing a web page. There was no RSS feed back then.
Yeah.
So it was funny. It's like I tell people my idea. Well, this goes back a few years. Like just before Riff Tracks started, but the idea was already out there, and people were like, "Yeah, it sounds like Riff Tracks." I'm like, "No, I still have the email."
We believe you.
I'm just saying that
it just wouldn't be as funny as Riff Tracks.
You never know that.
We could do something.
Get a couple beers. We'll talk about it'll be as funny as Riff Tracks. You don't think those guys are doing that drunk?
Oh, I'm sure they are, and I'm sure that they don't do it all in one take either.
No, I'm sure they don't.
All right. Well, we'll figure something out with that. Maybe we'll keep you posted. There's too many rules and laws and pirating bullshit to do anything fun anymore.
No, we can do it. It's just
people will have to take the trouble to sync it up to their show, and that's that. If you can't make things too hard for people because people won't put up with it. People are lazy and stupid.
Well, the only way that you can do something like that and make people give a damn is they have to love you.
Yeah.
If Kevin Smith decided he's going to do DVD commentaries or movie commentaries to old sci-fi shows, Mm-hmm. People will figure it out.
Yeah.
Why? Because Kevin Smith is awesome.
Right.
So, well, you know, that's
but that's even
part of the game of publishing your own content. You can do it. Go right ahead. The tools are there for everybody. But at some point, the rubber meets the road, and they have to love you. They have to. Would they pay even, money to show up and see you in concert?
Even Riff Trax has a Riff Trax player now, so when you their commentary doesn't start until you put the DVD in and it reads it. And so,
really?
Yeah. Oh. The file doesn't, it all syncs up automatically now. On some of them, not all of them. It
totally wouldn't end if you had to hit play on two things at the same time.
That's how they used to do it.
We figured it out with Dark Side of the Rainbow, right?
Right.
Yeah. But I wonder how hard it would be to say, okay, this is going to be our commentary for a Star Trek episode, and we're going to fire up Netflix for you. And if you don't have Netflix, then you know we'll just give you a countdown.
We'll fire up Netflix for you?
Yeah. No, the app, like write an app.
Oh, right.
I mean, you can do that for a YouTube video. You can go to a certain key point. It probably would be tricky. So what you do is you do a countdown first while you do all the business stuff on the other end.
Something to think about.
I'm sure it could be good, but I'm sure there's some rule or regulation or somebody wanting to sue somebody.
Netflix has an API.
Well, there you go. Work on that. I'd be happy to make fun of stuff. I'd be happy to make fun of this guy who, well, he died actually, but so maybe more.
You can still make fun of him.
You can make fun of him about how he died. Sad news from Sweden. Where's our resident Swede? Oh, not here anymore. Oh man, this is awful. This guy died having sex with a hornet's nest, allegedly.
Well, he didn't die from the sex with the hornet's nest.
No. I imagine from the sting.
He died. The hornets made the unwanted advance known.
Yeah. They said no. 35-year-old, apparently known only as Haas, was said to have been...
How many stings?
It was like over 100.
Wow.
I don't see what it says on this article.
Is that the one that I originally saw? I don't know, but...
Oh, yeah. A neighbor was quoted as saying Haas looked like he was bleached whale due to the inflammation caused by hundreds of stings.
What? Wow.
People are weird. Yeah. There's a lot of weird stories on this weird page. This is from metro.co.uk. I was looking at some of these other ones. Two men experienced childbirth agony. What was the other one I saw? A man was thrown out of Saudi Arabia for being too handsome.
What?
Sperm used as moisturizer by Chinese teenager. Yeah. Swaziland bans witches from 150 meter flying. That's good. So, you know. I guess lastly, we can talk about, what's his name? Chris Hadfield? Canadian
Chris Hadfield,
the Canadian commander of the ISS.
He's back on the ground. But before he came back, he did a cover of Bowie's Space Odyssey. Oddity. Mm-hmm.
That guy really worked the internet while in space.
Well, I didn't know. I imagine he was posting stuff. Or was he? I don't know. Can you post stuff from up there? Previous to this video?
Or maybe he did.
Yeah, he did all sorts of how-to videos. What happens when you wring out a wet washcloth in space? Rings it out, and you're like, God, this is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, it was like Bill Nye in space. Let's just do some shit over here.
Yeah.
I ain't got nothing to do. Let's run around. And he's messing around. He did a tutorial once on how to, or not a tutorial per se, but how to play a guitar in space.
Oh, a demonstration.
Because, you know, there's friction and, you know, you're trying to, like, feel a string move, and just the rules are different. So yeah, he did all sorts of stuff like that. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, and he's all over Google Plus, so you can go follow him. He got a bunch of pictures and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. So welcome back to Earth. I know he's probably listening.
Maybe not. Maybe yes.
Not so much. Maybe not. He's probably got better things. He did say that it was weird feeling the weight of his tongue and eyelids back on Earth. That's so strange to think about, I guess. All right, I guess that's for news and everything else. Yeah, you guys got anything to talk about? Anything else?
Nope.
Talk about your shows?
Nope.
All right.
Yes, I do World of Warcast with Eric on Thursdays. I do the Infinite Loop Show with Casey on Thursdays. I do the Hooniverse on Mondays with Nicole Wakeland. And I do This Week in Trek on Tuesdays with Daryl the Trek Nerd.
Which, by the way, coming up Saturday is the Season 7 finale of Doctor Who.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And that was, do we want to talk about that being leaked or not leaked or maybe leaked?
Well, some of the DVDs got shipped out to some American consumers early. And actually, for once, because actually all three of us, we're some of the moderators of the Doctor Who community, and it's like 50,000 strong. And everyone's been really cool. Some of us had to go and actually know the spoilers so we know what to look for. Because everybody speculates and all sorts of stuff. But it seems like fans did a pretty good job of keeping it together and not posting spoilers.
And I haven't seen, I haven't seen any torrents or posts of this anywhere, really. Either the BBC's been good about locking it down, or people just haven't been sharing it, really. And here's a story right here that says, why no torrents of The Name of the Doctor have appeared?
Some people are thinking that it might not have really happened at all.
Yeah. That's possible. But, you know, there's something to be said, too, about the whole fandom thing, is maybe people do enjoy watching it together, because there's all sorts of stuff like Get Glue and, you know, people all fire up something and watch a show together in time zone. It's fun. You like to experience. It's like watching the Super Bowl. Who wants to tape the Super Bowl and watch it, like, the next day? No one.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Yeah, this guy says, so it's been 3 days and no torrents of The Name of the Doctor have appeared. Love and Monsters turned up. Yeah, that was one I saw. And another one that was called something else. pretty vulgar turned up. But no real torrent for The Name of the Doctor. At first I thought sending out the DVD's early story was a total publicity stunt, but have had people swear black and blue that they have seen the DVD. So the BBC may be running around getting sites down before they appear, or after they appear, as soon as they appear. But they still would have turned up in a secret internet. There is still, as of now, nothing there either. This is from, I don't know where this is from.
I know we were wrapping it up, by the way, but somebody just pointed out something really spooky.
What?
So one of the new things on G+, which you can disable if you don't like this, is that it will scan the words of your post and automatically hashtag things for you.
Oh, yeah.
Which sent some people into a stir. But somebody just posted a graphic, one of those keep calm, blah, blah, blah things. And it actually read and recognized and did a little OCR on the contents of the image. And keep calm became a hashtag.
Oh, it read the words in the photo?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah.
Skynet.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, this guy was saying that he thinks the same thing that you were saying, that maybe the whole thing was fake. Or that the few people that got it don't know how to turn DVDs into downloadable torrents.
Well, no, I have an answer for that. Well, maybe not the DVDs, not the DVDs, I should say the Blu-rays. The BBC makes their Blu-rays in VC1 interlaced, not VC1 progressive. And there are no tools out. Well, there are, but they're tough to find. Mm-hmm. And everything, but it's not as easy to rip a VC1 interlaced Blu-ray as it is other kinds of media.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like its own copy protection. And the only reason why it hasn't been done is just because nobody cares.
Well, this guy says the DVD set has been shipped early as well. Gallifrey Base has confirmed it.
Okay. I think it would be different if this was like the 50th anniversary. That's out in November.
Hmm.
Maybe.
Okay. Well, we've only got a couple more days, and then we can all watch it as we're supposed to. All right. Anything else?
Nope.
Langley on Twitter. Eric is Eric Rice on Twitter.
Yup.
And that's it, then. We'll see you next week.
Bye. See you next Wednesday.
Yay.